Now, if you're interested in science, you might like to check out a website, which is, because all the details are available there of science stories. That's with Sean Duke, and it's seanduke.com. He has a section on his website. It's called Science Spinning, and he's here this morning to take those mere words off the website and put them into vocalization so we can hear exactly what he's talking about. You're very welcome, Sean. Thanks for coming.
Thanks, Declan.
And what's this? Every 2 pounds, which is about a small little kilo, overweight knocks 9 weeks off your life. Now, how can scientists say that?
Yeah, and it's worrying because a lot of us are overweight. It's very easy to be overweight if you look at what the figures show. But this is a study of 600,000 people. So this is how they do it, because this is the era of what they call big data. So we know that there's masses of information out there on all kinds of things. And scientists are now developing ways to actually make sense of that information and to analyze it and cross-check it. So what they did here was, in the UK, they looked at 600,000 people. Now, the data came from Europe, North America, Australia, all over the world, and it was fed into this thing called a UK biobank, and they compared lots of things. So lots of research is coming out of it. Like, for example, another thing that came out of this was that if you smoke a packet of cigarettes a day, you're going to die 7 years earlier on average. So we kind of know that. But in terms of weight, which is something that probably affects a lot more of us, it's worrying. And they found that if you are 2 stone overweight, for example, and, you know, a lot of us perhaps would be that, then that's going to take on average 6 months off your life. So that's quite a lot. And we know now, of course, that the life expectancy is increasing, and the UK, it stands at, it's probably the same here, 79 and a half for a man years and 83.1 for a woman. So we're living longer, but they're now talking about, the public health people are talking about average healthy life expectancy. So while we're living longer, the actual amount of time that we spend free of disease is getting shorter. So we're living longer, but we're spending a lot more time alive living with disease. And one of the reasons is this obesity epidemic. For example, they looked at this healthy average life expectancy that I just mentioned in England, and they found that the number of years a person can live largely free of illness, which is what that is less than the age people average to get the state pension. So by the time you get the pension, a lot of people are already ill, and they may live for another 20 years with kind of various diseases. This is feeding into obesity. But it, not only is it making us it's cutting our life short as well as making us less healthy, if you like.
Okay.
So there's a number of factors at work there.
Right, so that's the general message, is get your weight down. If that's, everybody comes in and talks like diabetes yesterday, get your weight down.
Even a little bit. Even a couple of pounds can make a difference.
It can help. Okay. Yeah. Now, what about this one? You're going to have a lot of people saying, no, he's wrong. Scientists, what do they know? Little proof mindfulness meditation works.
I've used this myself, so I'll say that. I've nothing against mindfulness, and I must say, for myself, it works. Whatever it does, it seems to be relaxing, and, you know, I do it a fair bit. So I've absolutely nothing against it, but it was interesting to see this in the Scientific American, which is a very reputable thing in the US magazine, and scientists over there actually started to look at this. Let's see the evidence here, because mindfulness, of course, is big at this stage, and in a paper by 15 psychologists and scientists that were very prominent in the field, they looked at all the data that's out there. So they looked at all the studies. It's called a meta-analysis of everything. And they found that a lot of the studies that have been done on mindfulness, they've been reported to relieve stress, pain, and even some of them to slow aging. But the researchers said that the studies that they could find, a lot of them were poorly designed in terms of scientific experiment. Okay, so that's important. If it's not designed properly at the start, then the results you get can't be trusted. They've been inconsistent definitions of what mindfulness actually is. What are we talking about here before we study it? And then they didn't use a control group. Now, people will ask, what's a control group? That's a group to compare to. So say you were studying cancer, you'd have one group with cancer and one group not with cancer. That's your control group. So they didn't have anything to compare to. So this meant that the placebo effect, which we all have heard of, wasn't ruled out, that it actually could be caused. People who expect mindfulness to help, they might then get a placebo effect, and it will help. And only 9% of the studies were actually tested in clinical trials, and that's the gold standard, where it's everything is tightly controlled. You have real patients coming in with real stress and anxiety, and they're monitored. So of all of these studies that they found, 47 of them involving 3,500 people, they concluded that there is no evidence that mindfulness enhances attention. It's meant to, a lot of people say it improves your attention and work. No evidence that it's going to help you with substance abuse, which is one of the claims for it. No evidence.
That's a recent one, yeah.
Sleep, no, it's not going to help you there, and it's not going to help you control your weight. The only thing that they could find at the moment where there's a moderate, now a very small impact, for positive impact, is on this anxiety thing and depression. So it seems to help people a little bit,
right,
there.
But just because they couldn't find it doesn't mean it's not there.
Exactly.
I mean, if I hadn't got the equipment back in the 18th century to look for those colours and rays that we can't see, and infrareds and things like that, I would imagine that they're not there, but I just don't have the equipment to find them.
You're dead right. You're starting to think like a scientist, Declan, because essentially what they're saying is the studies up to now have been poor. We're not ruling out that there could be effects, but it seems that the indications are that it's good for anxiety and depression, but a lot of these other things that are claimed look bogus.
Okay, take that and do what is, you know.
Yeah, be careful.
You know, if you want to do it.
But it's absolutely no harm. It's not like you're taking
some people get a lot out of it. Okay,
yeah.
Turning now to something else. We heard about the dinosaurs. Something struck the earth and that didn't kill the dinosaurs. What did kill them was that the effect of it made the sky all black and the crops couldn't grow and they died of starvation. Now then, something similar for ancient Egypt, and something maybe similar for the future coming out of Yellowstone supervolcano.
Yeah,
so tell us.
We're getting into a disaster movie here, which is great. So just trying to frighten you. But yeah, this was a study that was done by Trinity College Dublin and Yale University in the US. And what it showed, it was a fascinating study because they looked at science and they also looked at history. So they looked at these climate models. That's essentially a computer that tries to predict the future of our weather. And they ran it backwards, okay, to try and ascertain what the weather was like in ancient Egypt. And these are getting more accurate. So that was one thing. And then they looked at the historical records, the written documents, which said that there were rebellions and revolts at particular times in ancient Egypt. When it was particularly rich, this is what confused people, around the time of Cleopatra, the Ptolemaic rule era, they call it, around 300 to 50 BC, it was a very wealthy region. But there were revolts, so people thought, well, why, if it was so wealthy, did they have people that were unhappy? And now they've managed to correlate with this climate modelling and the historical records that actually these revolts against Cleopatra and the other rulers correlated or were linked with volcanic eruptions. And you wonder, well, why did that make an impact? Well, the impact is that the volcanoes blow up. This creates ash, goes around the world. This reduces the amount of sunlight coming into the earth, and it also messes up the regular weather patterns that are there. So the monsoons are needed in Egypt, and about 70% of the world still today. You need your monsoon rains in summer to flood the area and to basically have your irrigation of your crops. That wasn't happening. People had no food. People rioted against the rulers, and they've matched the two, and it sits perfectly. And it's a really nice study showing that science and history can be used together to look at things. And Trinity should be congratulated because it's a really interesting study. And they're also saying that, look, if 70% of the earth is based on these monsoon weathers that we need, then it's very easy even for a stable, rich society to get disrupted by future weather. So with climate change, we could have a lot of social, political upheaval that follows if people, you know, if their crops are messed with or their food supply, so there's a lesson there for the future.
And related to that, the possibility or... can I say probability? No. Yellowstone supervolcano?
Yep. It's an absolute certainty that it will erupt, but it's just a probability that it will erupt in the near future, I guess you could put it that way. The last time was 630,000 years ago, which is a long time. But apparently the scientists say it is due. Now, this thing is enormous. It's not a volcano. It's a supervolcano. People might think Yellowstone, it's far away, right? But if it goes off, the last time it blew a hole hole 40 miles wide, which essentially the Yellowstone National Park sits in the crater. Okay, so that's how big it was. You're going to have ash all over the world. You're going to have temperatures dropping. This will continue for a couple of decades. So our whole climate will change. And certainly the United States, Donald Trump will have a lot more in his hands to deal with because really, the impact of this would be absolutely colossal. And the fact, the last time they know that just before it blew up, the magma was being, the lava underneath the ground is called magma, the chambers were filling up. So the temperatures could be rising. And once that starts to happen, this could all trigger. You could have a dormant situation going to an active volcano within 10 years.
Right,
so
okay.
We have to watch that.
And one last thing quickly is here that the Chinese space station has gone out of control. And could land here in the car park.
It could, and a lot of people might say Chinese space station, never heard of that, but there is one, and they put it up a few years ago in 2011 because they want to be a superpower in space. And this thing is pretty big. It's 8.5 tons, so that's like two big elephants floating up there in space. And they have sent astronauts up, the first Chinese female astronaut, taikonauts they're called, Liu Yang. She went up in 2012, but the Chinese lost control of the thing.
So now, it's heading towards Earth.
It is. It could be. And it could be tomorrow or any time from now until next April. We don't know where it's going to fall. A lot of it will burn up, but you still have 100 kg or so pieces. That's like the size of a big man who could come in through your window, Declan, fall anywhere. Hopefully it's going to be out at sea.
Yeah, indeed, because most of the Earth covered with sea. Okay, the cool scientist, Sean Duke. Thanks very much indeed, Sean. And have a look at Sean's website if you're interested in science. SeanDuke.com for science spinning.